97.5, The Fanatic. Week 8 in the National Football League is in the books, and the Birds are 4-4 after an impressive win on Sunday in Buffalo. 8 games remain, 5 of them at home. Are the Eagles poised to make a run and win the NFC East? This is the Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, live from PJ Wellahan's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Presented by 19 Crimes Wine, The Tile Shop, and Rudder Roofing. Now here are your hosts, Devon Gibbons and Brian Westbrook.
And welcome to the Pro Show with Brian Westbrook here live at Cherry Hill, New Jersey, 1854 East Marlton Pike. Brian Westbrook Show with you until 7:15 tonight before we hand things off to Brian Seltzer for the Atlanta Hawks and 76ers game. Two undefeated teams, the only two undefeated teams in the NBA going head-to-head tonight. That will be right here on 97.5 The Fanatics. We have some extended time to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles' victory over the Buffalo Bills yesterday afternoon, 31-33. Brian Westbrook, what's going on, man? A happy Victory Monday.
That's right. Happy Victory Monday to everyone out there, especially Eagles fans. You know, last week I came on here and I was absolutely irate.
That's how you lost your voice last week.
And my voice is gone. It hasn't even come back yet. But this week we're talking about victory. We're talking about a team that went up there on their third road game in a row against a very good defensive football team, and they found a way to win. And, you know, sometimes you don't look at who the opponent is. You just got to win a football game. And our football team went up there and got a win. I don't care how they got it. I don't care if they had to run the ball, if they had to throw the ball, if they had to sack the quarterback, all the touchdowns were on defense or not. They got a victory. And more importantly than that, I got my boy with me.
Yeah,
I got my protector with me, big dog.
Yeah.
Trey Thomas.
Yeah, man.
And so we talk about a team that was able to go out there yesterday and run the football. It's only fitting that we got Seven Deuce in here.
Yeah, we had to bring him out for something like this. When you go out there and you get 26 carries, 170 yards, and two touchdowns from your two main backs in Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders, the offensive line did their job, Trey, and the running backs followed suit.
Yeah, they did a good job of taking care of the first level, working up to the second level. I think that, you know, when you go back and you watch this game, just a TV copy shows you a lot. When you can sit there and see that, all right, it's always green helmets on the other side of the line of scrimmage, on both sides, you know. So that shows that we're winning in the trenches. When you can look at our offensive line, we're getting pushed. We're pushing back the blue helmets and getting upfield to the second level. We're just opening up the holes for our backs. I think we did a good job. I think getting Wentz under center definitely changed up the rhythm of it a little bit. I thought that that was a nice little wrinkle. Also allowing Jordan Howard to just be able to run downhill a little bit more. I don't think he's as productive when it comes to coming out of the shotgun when you're running inside zone. So, you know, I think under center suits him much better.
And B, 23-96 for Jordan Howard. Mm-hmm. Miles Sanders, 3-74, and he had the 65-yarder where he just exploded out of the backfield. And you always speak about the difference of having the quarterback under center, the running back a few yards back, being able to survey the field and doing it. And we saw that yesterday. And even on that one play where Miles Sanders went for the 65, Jordan Howard made a key block to open things up to allow him to get out there and score.
Well, here's the reason why I like Jordan Howard with the quarterback underneath the center. He's a big back. He's not very quick. I think that his footwork is still just a little bit slow. But when he's underneath center and he's going downhill, he doesn't have to make a lot of moves. He doesn't have to make a lot of lateral cuts to find the hole. So he can allow his vision and to kind of wind into the hole. And then once you get to the second level, then guys have to make a business decision. Do they want to tackle 230 pounds in the third and fourth quarter? And Trey made a good point. Our offensive line, and when we are not successful running the football, the defense is getting pressure into the backfield. They're getting pushed into the backfield. Yesterday, what you saw from the very beginning was our offensive line 2-3 yards down the field, getting pushed down the field. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care who you have at the running back position. If your offensive line gets you 2-3 yards down the field, then you're going to have some success. And yesterday we saw an awful lot of it from both Miles Sanders as well as Jordan Howard.
Well, again, a 31-13 victory over the Buffalo Bills. They improved their record to 4-4. The Dallas Cowboys were on their bye, so they were idle yesterday. You're now tied, of course, but Dallas has the advantage right now in terms of the number one seed in the NFC East. But, Trey, we want to start off, as Brian laid out, the overall keys for him for yesterday's win over Buffalo. Outside of the running game and the offensive line, controlling the line of scrimmage, Cage. What were your overall assessment of the Eagles getting this big win on the road yesterday?
Well, you know, it's kind of like what we talked about this morning, man. It's just this team needing this negative energy for them to rally. You know, you want this team to get to the point where they just go ahead and accept being the bullies instead of being the ones that have to get pushed around for them to rally and come together. I think that this is a talented team, and they can get it done when they play together. You can see that they have the athletes, the horses to get it done. It's just that when they don't play together, it seems like they need everybody to be against them for them to go out and give the put forth their best effort.
I hate that because that means you need that type of motivation, that stimulation all the time.
Yeah.
What I want is a group of guys that are self-starters that say, listen, we got a game today. I'm going to go out there and just give my best, and I'm going to go out there and get the job done no matter what. And unfortunately, we don't seem to have that. But listen, even if we don't have that, if that's what you got to do to get yourself motivated, and you need to do that every single week, get it done. And I think that this game kind of proved that you can get it done. Now, you have to also take the game in context, right? Anytime you're playing against a football team like the Bills, where the offense is going to be one-dimensional, meaning we have a big hole in our secondary where teams have taken advantage of everything we've done in the secondary. They're able to throw the ball down the field. Then you play the Bills, and they don't even try. They literally don't even try to throw the ball down the field at all. They want to run the football against us. We're going to have some success. My concern still is that if you face a team like the Cowboys, like the Vikings, where they have the ability to run the ball and pass the ball, are we still susceptible down the field? I think Jalen Mills had a good game. I think Ronald Darby had a good game. Mm-hmm. Didn't really have to call either one of their names. The reason why is because Josh Allen didn't bother to throw the ball deep. Wow. He didn't even try.
Well, they're dealing with 35-mile-per-hour winds. So the weather was our best defense.
Absolutely. Mother Nature was on our side,
sure,
which is a great thing. And I hope that we can find a way to get that to happen week after week after week. I also know this. That's not going to happen every single week.
Right.
So we have to figure out how to tighten this thing up just a little bit more. And I think, you know, listen, no matter how you get the win, stopping a two-game losing streak is a good thing. We stopped that. Now it's time to go figure out how we can get a win next week. And I think, you know, this win and that confidence from this win will help us out just a bit.
And we know what the schedule looked like at this point, guys, with 8 games remaining. Chicago Bears next week back in Philadelphia before the bye week. And we know the big ones coming off of the bye, where you have the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks both in town before you. The schedule kind of eases up with the Giants twice, Washington once, Miami, and your final game, which could determine what happens with the playoffs in the NFC East against the Dallas Cowboys. So all of these games are very important. So as you said, great to snap that 2-game losing streak and get back into their winning ways, and hopefully going into the bye week they can get a victory, of course.
You know what I loved about this game the most is that, you know, there have been times where we said we have to go into the game and we need Carson Wentz to be special. Really, I've been saying that for the last month or so. In order for us to win, we need Carson Wentz to be special. Yesterday, he wasn't special. He was good. He wasn't special. Our run game was special. Our offensive line play was special. So we got some other contributors.
It was solid.
Yeah, it was solid.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of yards. They ran for over, 200-something yards they ran for. They did a good job of blocking up front.
Yeah.
They did a good job of providing holes. And really, at this point, that's all we can ask for. They did a great job. We scored 31 points against a top-5 defense. Again, that we deserve credit for that. Now, as we look forward, which we're not even doing yet, we still want to focus on this game. Mm-hmm. But as you look forward, you have to say, how do we get better? How do we improve upon that? And I think there's a lot of different ways.
I tell you how you get better. You start getting beat with the corner blitz.
Ooh.
I mean, you know, when you go back and you look at this game, and I just finished watching this game again, just from the offensive standpoint. I mean, when you get beat with the corner blitz, I mean, you had the corner blitz come last week for a sack, and then you got two corner blitzes that came this week, which was a big pressure that came along where Wentz ended up wiggling out of it and throwing that one pass to Ertz down the sideline that would have been a circus catch if he would have caught it. And then his one of his other sacks came off of a corner blitz. So, you know, and this was over the left side this time. This type of stuff is going to continue to show itself until you show that you can handle it. Now, I know that Dillard, they were bringing it to Dillard's side. So you got to make the calls, though. Everything was based off of the safety rotation. Now, I'm still going off of the TV copy, so you can't really see the coach's copy yet, where you can actually see the safeties rotating and seeing the corner coming down. But you have to make those calls and make those stops, because you keep getting beat with the same thing. All they did was just bring it from the other side.
Well, Trey, that's what we talked about pregame, where you said the offensive linemen have to communicate better, especially the center, because he's making those calls. And as you watch the game and some of the things that you pointed out, where you would see Brandon Brooks turn around, look back at the quarterback, then tap Jason Kelce, he maybe started pointing, but obviously, now, not a lot of sacks, but in terms of what you're saying, they have to do better at that particular part of their blocking, so Carson Wentz doesn't take those unnecessary hits and is able to make a play.
You know, one of the things about that, Trey, and I know the offensive line has a lot to do with that, the running backs have a lot to do with that, but I think Carson has a lot to do with that as well. And he has to be able to say, okay, even if we can block it, I want to get the ball out a little bit faster.
It ain't his responsibility, though. I mean, you know, like, it's, yeah, he can get the ball out a little bit quick, but you can protect it, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, this isn't, you know, this isn't anything that's oh, my God, we've never seen this. It's a corner blitz. Well, you slide, and they're bringing it away from the back. So, which tells me, like, all right, if you're to the right side, what we in? We in two jets.
We're sliding that way.
We sliding left.
Right.
In the back side is to the right. So, you know, you got to pick. That's something that's elementary.
What I saw on the backside with Dillard and Sayamalu was a lot of games. So the D tackle and the DN were playing a lot of games, and they had some trouble passing it off. I think they can just do a better job. But to me, again, that's practice. They have to do a better job at practicing those types of things. And the corner blitz comes off of that as well.
Anytime, of course, when you're going to bring the corner blitz, you're going to have that end slant in anyway to try to bait the tackle in anyway so that he can have a free lane. So, but what you've always should have been taught from day one is anytime you have that inside rush, especially if you're to the slide side, you automatically get eyes outside because you know there's an outside influence coming. You know what I'm saying? And if it's not, is it much easier for you to get back into it and switch it off? But you got to get your eyes outside. It's too many times we keep getting beat with corner blitzes. I mean, you know, this is probably the third or fourth time. And then the first time when it was the pressure, they sent Jordan over there to try to handle that. That's a slide. Just slide it.
Just slide to the left. I think that's something that they certainly could get better on. And that's how you make the offense much better. One of the things that I loved about yesterday, again, and I mentioned Carson wasn't special.
Mm-hmm.
He did something yesterday that I think I've been waiting for him to do, but I think a lot of Eagles fans have been scared of. And I understand why. He's been hurt the last two seasons at the end of the season. But his ability to escape the pocket yesterday, to me, made a big difference in the game.
Yeah.
It made a difference between a team only fearing the running backs in the run game and a team having to worry about the quarterback moving around. It's kind of like the Lamar Jackson effect. When you play against the Baltimore Ravens, you're a little bit afraid of Mark Ingram, the running back.
Yep.
You're a little bit afraid of Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown, the receivers. But you're mostly afraid of the quarterback and his ability to run. There were times when me and Trey played where Donovan was the best athlete on the field, no matter who you look at, in offense and defense. And because of that, he was able to have his way in the pass game and in the run game, and that made him super dangerous. Yesterday, Carson was dangerous, not because of the things he was able to do with his arm, just because of the wind and things like that. He was dangerous because of the 8 carries that he had, the 8 carries that made a difference. Now the defense has no clue what the offense is going to do. If they checked everybody in the pass protection, in the pass play, but Carson was still able to run. If Carson can add just a little bit of more of that, I think that this offense takes a big jump in his productivity. However, obviously the concern is,
sure,
we don't want him to get hurt.
You don't want him to get
hurt.
That's all about him protecting himself, because you know how he is. He always takes those hits. And the two big ones, of course, 3rd and 5, where he ran for the first down, picked up 13 yards. And a key one, a big one on 3rd and 10, where he also recognized it wasn't happening.
Mm.
And he got out quick, Trey. He made a quick decision, got out there, picked up the first down again on that run.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he did do a really good job, I think, just recognizing, okay, I can go ahead and get upfield, get some positive yards. Don't put the ball in a bad situation. I thought that was extremely helpful in just what this offense could do. I thought some of it was designed. You could tell, like, it was a fake, and then you saw how the offensive lineman worked upfield, and he kind of cut up behind it. And then some of it was just improvising. You know, if it's a play action, you roll out, you see that the defense has their back to you, go ahead and get upfield, make something happen. I just get nervous when I see Carson out there, and I just don't need him to put on his cape.
Yes.
And start to feel like, you know what, I'm about to go truck this cat, you know.
And he did it once.
Yeah.
And he did it once because he tried to make sure he got that extra yard, but you still cringe when he does it.
And then instead of trying to get the extra yard, I would much rather him get out of bounds so you can save the timeout.
Yeah.
You know, and say he dove forward, but didn't get out of bounds. Yeah. So, you know, now you got this clock running, you got to still call timeout.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the Brian Westbrook Show, broadcasting live from P.J. Willihan's 1854 East Marlton Pike here in Cherry Hill, presented by 19 Crimes Wine. Join us every Monday night from 6 to 7. Tonight, extended time, 6 to 7:15 for the Brian Westbrook Show, live from PJ's. Grab your seat early and enjoy happy hour food specials from 3:30 to 6, including $2 sliders, which we want Carson Wentz to do, $4 famous fries, and $5 personal nachos all day, every day. Enjoy $7 19 Crimes featured wines by the glass. Also presented by Rudder Roofing, Window Sliding, and Decking. They will protect your house. And we cannot forget about the Tile Shop, where the pros go for exclusive savings, referral rewards, and job site delivery on the phones. We want to take your phone calls as we are here with you until 7:15, 610-632-0975. If you want to speak to Brian or Trey about the Philadelphia Eagles win over the Buffalo Bills, 31-13.
One of the things that I loved about yesterday was, I want to tell me if you feel the same way, Trey, was that Doug seemed more creative in his play calls. I'm thinking of three plays in particular that I had never seen before. He seemed like he was more comfortable and more creative with his play calls. Is that because they got the run game going early on, or is it just Doug felt more comfortable in this game, possibly because he played against a Buffalo offense that he didn't think would put up a bunch of points early?
Well, I think Doug hears what everybody's saying. You know, I think all the coaches and everybody is aware of what everybody's saying and saying that, you know, hey, the offense looks stale. You need to start bringing stuff, mixing in a little something different into the game plan. And I think that, you know, they hear what's going on just like everybody else is talking. So I think that he went in there and they went in the lab. The coaches sat down and they scurried over some film, saw what they could add into their game plan. You know, it's a copycat league anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you see Aaron Rodgers do all of that fake screen one way, bring it back the other way all the time. So, I mean, go ahead and go digging, go in the lab. Everybody, you have everybody's film, logs of film right there at your fingertips. So you can look up whatever play you want to.
Sure.
In any, whatever year you want to do it.
Steal, you know, whatever you want.
Whatever you want. Sideline and behind view.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you can get it all. You know, it's all right
and
there.
And you can tweak it.
You can tweak it to make it work with what you need to
do.
Now, one of the things I would say, man, they got to stop doing some of those plays where you got Ertz trying to get up and
Block.
Yeah.
That's not his thing.
No.
You know what they like to do? They like to bring Ertz after the snap across the formation and block like a D tackle.
No, that's not what he's built to do. No, I even saw him yesterday where, you know, he tried to go up there on a safety and got handled pretty nice. You know, I'm like, all right, Ertz,
he got
to
figure something out.
You're the tip of the spear right here, man. I need you to, you know.
He has to do something different. Well, one of the things that you mentioned, Trey, was the screen game.
Yeah, screen game.
They brought the screen game back.
Yeah.
You know, we've been kind of begging for it. Listen, we're not going to throw the ball to the wide receivers. I don't know that we have any explosive plays coming from the wide receivers, so we have to find a way to create a way to get the ball to the tight ends and the running back. And a lot of times, that's in the screen game. And really, the screen game is similar to an extension to the run game, really, as we see the Steeler jersey walking past it. I hate to see that.
One thing I would say about that screen game, which is it's beautiful when it works. What would you prefer as a running back? Would you prefer linemen that are out there run blocking out there for you, or would you rather them cut and just let you go?
No, I want my offensive linemen, especially in the screen, or even if it's a run play, I want you to cut, because if you're staying up, I'm just seeing your back. I don't know what's behind you. If you cut, at least the defenders are putting their hands down, and I could just get past
them. Make some work for them.
Absolutely.
I want you to go back. When you get the chance, go back and watch Sanders' screen to the left and the one that he cut back right. Watch if they would have cut, if the offensive lineman would have cut those two down linemen that were there, and then you had Jeffrey up there with the safety by himself. If he would have stayed, it were only three guys over there that made him cut back right.
I saw that. I know the play you're talking about. The one thing, if they would have cut, he would have stayed on the left-hand side of the field, right up the sidewalk, really where he was supposed to be, instead of cutting across the field. Now, it ended up being a really good play.
Yeah, it ended up being a positive play. So it could have been a touchdown.
It would have been a touchdown if they would have thrown, meaning cut. Yeah, they cut the defender's legs out from underneath him. He almost walks in at that point. But, you know, I don't know that they're teaching that.
You don't see it around the league that much anyway. You don't see cut blocking that much anymore. But I would much rather, I mean, if you're out there, you're not going to sit up there, DB or back off from you and then go make a play. I would take that front knee out and then you allow the running back to do his thing because now he's bumping in the offensive lineman, right. Man. You in the way.
It ended up being a good play.
But just cut.
It would have been a touchdown.
Even on the one particular play that was an outside zone, and then you had the linebacker coming through, I think it was 49 that made the play in the backfield. You know, and Dillard was going up there, but he went up there to try to block him instead of, man, go take that front knee out. Yeah. Then it's over with. Then now the back has a lane to get up in there. I just feel like some stuff you need to get back to, some of that cutting, man. It's a technique. But, cats don't want to hit the ground and practice.
They don't do it anymore.
That's old school, Trey. They don't do the old school stuff anymore.
You can pull, like, one of the little, you know, the punt blocking pads out dummies, there, you know.
Yeah.
Let the big fellas go dive around on the pad, you know, just so you can work the progression of it.
They don't do that no more. I remember they used to pull that out.
So what do they do?
They just block it. It like you running up on a guy,
yeah,
and you just run and
push him. You
end up getting in the way sometimes. I think, you know, just because, I mean, you got a back to back that trying to make something happen, man, just go cut and get it done.
And if you cut, you're basically saying, Brian, if you cut and Brian is basically out there, allow him to do what he does, which is make somebody miss.
That's right. Let me do my job. Hopefully, I don't have to make anybody miss. Once you cut that guy, hopefully I'm fast enough to get past the defender at that point. You know, I have to tell you, I felt so good coming down here today because last week I was so pissed off.
Yeah, you were hot.
Listen,
he was hot. I was disappointed last week.
I was hot. But listen, all these things we're talking about correcting, these are small things when you win.
Oh, yeah, this is nothing.
This is small things when you win. When you lose, these are things are magnified, kind of like these comments that came out of the locker room.
Yes.
All week long, we talked about Orlando Scandrick and what's going on with Malcolm Jenkins, what's going on with Carson Wentz in the locker room. However, winning cures almost everything in the NFL, period. When you win, a lot of things go away. Now, those problems are still there, but when you win, you don't even talk about them. It certainly feels good to be here on a Victory Monday in front of the best fans in football celebrating the win up there in Buffalo.
And before we go any further, though.
Yes.
I just got to give a big just my man. Andre Dillard is out there balling.
Playing well.
Man, I sat up there and watched this young man, dude. You can tell, like, he is going to be nice, dude. Like, once he puts on a little bit more weight.
Sure. His good feet.
Dude, he is so clean coming out of his
set. So with a little bit of weight, how is he making up for it if that power is there from the opposite side? As you just said, how is he making up for it with all the skill and technique that he has?
But his technique is clean.
Okay.
Yeah.
His technique is clean. Like, I posted a picture, a clip today where a DN edged him. You know what I'm saying? So, you know. When I had to look up in the Urban Dictionary what edging is, I was using it as an offensive line term, not as Urban Dictionary term. You know, So the dude, he got edged, but dude, you'll see most young linemen there try to fight it with their outside hand. He was crafty enough to say, you know what, I'm going to pull my outside hand out of it, get strong with my inside hand, and now by being able to do that. You're now between the DN and the quarterback. And now you got to do is lag the shoulder a little bit because you're in bail mode anyway.
All right.
Fighting it with your outside hand ain't going to do nothing but get you holding and shorten the corner for the DN. So it was as smooth, like he was like, all right, boom, turned into it, saw that he was in a bad situation, pulled his outside hand out, get strong with the inside hand, ran him by the quarterback. Everybody look at it and be like, that looks simple. Dude, it takes a long time to get the feel for that, and that was really big for him to do something like that.
And that's a young guy doing that. In for Jason Peters, and we'll see how things progress for him as we get ready for the Chicago Bears on Sunday back here before the bye at Lincoln Financial Field. On the phone, 610-632-0975. It's the Pro Show with Brian Westbrook. Trey Thomas, special guest in the house. I'm Devon Givens. We're at 1854 East Marlton Pike in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. On the other side, got to get into a little bit of the defense and how well they play in only giving up 13 points to the Buffalo Bills at home. 610-632-0975. Brian Westbrook, Trey Thomas, Devon Givens, right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic Pro Show with Brian Westbrook. Presented by 19 Crimes Wide, The Tile Shop, and Rudder Roofing on 97.5 The Fanatic.
632, 97.5 The Fanatic. The Pro Show with Brian Westbrook. Trey Thomas, special guest. I'm Devon Givens. We're live at P.J. Willihan's 1854 East Marlton Pike in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Hanging out with you until 7:15. 610-632-0975. And the 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination.
You know, one thing that I know we want to talk about the defense, but one thing. I think the offense did really well. And it helped Carson a lot. And I normally think that Carson needs to be this drop back, five-step drop, get the ball out. Yesterday, he had a couple RPOs. Yeah. And he was very successful throwing the football with the RPOs, faking the run, getting the linebacker to this place, and throwing right behind him. And listen, I'm one of these guys. I think Carson is skilled enough to be an elite passer all by himself without the RPOs and stuff like that. However, I also understand that this offense has been struggling. And if you want this offense to go, whatever it takes, if it's the RPOs, whether it's the run game, whether it's a short, quick pass game, mm-hmm. get the balls out quickly, I'm absolutely okay with that. The one thing that discourages me just a little bit about the offense is that if Carson's taking a five-step drop, planning, stepping, ready to throw, there's a lot of times where the receivers are not even close to being finished with their route. They're not looking for the football. Uh-huh. They're not open. They're just kind of still running their route. That concerns me just a bit. There was a couple of situations that I think, Trey, it looked kind of like, to me, there were cover sacks where Carson's ready to throw the football. Receivers are not ready to catch it. And now the pressure from the defensive line has kind of taken him over just a bit. Somehow our receivers have to do a better job of making sure when the ball's supposed to be out that you're ready in position to catch the football. And that puts the offensive lineman in a bad position.
Yeah, you know, when you go back and you look at the first sack, and that was, I can't even remember my man's name, but it was over Dillard.
Uh-huh.
But it was because Kelsey got beat, and the deep tackle was coming right down the middle of Carson Wentz, and he's the one that kind of started what happened, and then the DN got pushed on Dillard, and then that's where you get the sack. But that was a 3-second sack. So, yeah, I think that Carson could have gotten rid of the ball a little quicker. I think he did have I don't know if it was Ertz or somebody that was coming across that he could have made the quick throw to. But I also feel like, too, the deep tackle was right there in his face as well. So it was either try to make the throw and get your arm hit or, you know, hey, I'm already stuck into this. And then you go back, and then you have the next sack that I think that came in was a corner blitz. Well, that sack came in at 2.1 seconds.
That's quick. That's quick.
He got there fast.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but that's what I'm saying. Can he get rid of the ball? Yes, I think he could have thrown it. If you go back and you watch that particular clip with the corner blitz, if he would have hit Sanders out there in the flats, it was 3rd and 4, I believe. And if he would have gone ahead and hit Sanders, I think it was like 36. If he would have hit Sanders in the flats, he probably would have been, you know, still running. I think that, you know, just a couple things out there that, you know, if you can get rid of the ball a little bit quicker, yeah, you can see what your hot reads are, yada, yada, yada. But I think also, too, just protection has to be a little bit cleaner.
You're sharpening up your offense by protecting in the trenches. Again, great win, great opportunity for us to get better. However, I remember back in the day, we were winning a bunch of games. Every Monday, every Tuesday when we came in for film, Andy had a list of things oh, we got to do all these things better. Hey, coach, we scored 35 points. Listen, if we do these 10 things better, we score 50 points. So these are the things that we're pointing out offensively that we can do a little bit better, and that makes a difference. That makes a huge difference as far as scoring points. One of the things that I love what I saw yesterday was our young rookie running back, Miles Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
He looked decisive. He looked on purpose. He looked like he was focused of getting downhill. So many times as a young guy, you think you can just outrun people. And so you get the football, you take one step downhill, and you're hightailing to the edge because you think you can outrun guys. In the NFL, it's just so hard. Defensive players know how to take good angles. They're faster. They're more physical. And so it's hard to outrun guys to the edge. Yesterday, we saw a lot of inside zone with Miles Sanders where he was saying, listen, I ain't trying to get outside. I'm putting my feet in the ground, and I'm going downhill. And I think he did a really good job on all of his carries of making – he only had three. But the three carries that he had, he looked more determined of getting downhill and focused and saying, listen, this is where the hole is going to be at. This is where it's supposed to be at. I'm going to stay here until it develops. And you see, he broke the big long one for the touchdown down the field. Almost the same thing for Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard's a vet. He understands that he ain't outrunning nobody. I ain't trying to get to the edge. I'm following the blocking scheme. And then when I get there, I'm running somebody over. And the running backs, both of them, did a very good job of using their pads, following their blockers, developing those blocks, allowing them to work with them. And then that's how you establish a run game. That's why we got the run game going. And plus you had the offensive lineman dominating in the trenches.
Yep.
That makes the total difference in the football game yesterday afternoon.
And Miles Sanders exited the game later on in the second half because of an injury. And Doug Peterson gave an update on it because he did not finish the game. Says Miles is going to be okay. Had some further testing done today. Everything came back positive. We're going to make him day-to-day
this
week and see where he is at the end
play
of the week.
Play through that.
So that sounded like he had a boo-boo.
A boo-boo.
Okay.
Yeah. All but right. It gave Boston Scott an opportunity to get a touchdown.
Yeah, which I like Boston Scott,
what do you think?
I like him. I think he's a nice change of pace back. You know, he has a little bit of energy with him. He has some nice little pop, and he plays with power. I like Boston.
He's quick. He's fast. He's one of these guys. He kind of reminds you of Sproles just a little bit. He's able to get in and out. And I think he can help this offense a bunch. And so as you figure out a way to use him with that creativity from Doug Peterson, I think he certainly can help this offense, absolutely.
Well, you just hope you have all hands on deck next week. And, Trey, as you talk about that with the running game getting going, you spoke about it earlier with the offensive line, and you talk about it quite often when you're allowed to just tee off on these guys and wear them out, and that's exactly what they did in the fourth quarter. They went on an 8-plus-minute drive on the one drive to really seal things, and the offensive line just had the opportunity to just, again, just go and go and continue to go, and they had the advantage.
Yeah, they did a good job, man. I thought they did a good job of getting good push. And I think also, too, keeping Carson on the center really helped out this run game because now you allow Jordan Howard to get downhill, and he's running north and south instead of trying to get that crossing motion. I mean, you know, you have to be a back with some speed to be able to hit some of those holes. And then, you know, I think they just did a good job of just staying creative and just mixing it up and just let's just stick with what works. And then those guys just took it upon themselves to get it done.
One thing that I saw yesterday was an offensive line dominating. And we talked about that before, but this is a different type of dominance that they did yesterday. There was times where the Buffalo Bills knew that we had to run the ball, mm-hmm. knew we were going to run the ball, they knew where it was going, and they still couldn't stop it.
Sure.
That to me, is a tale of the tape of how you dominate a football team. You know, we're going right here in this A-gap on the right-hand side, and we dare you to be there, and even if you're there, we're still going to get positive yards. We saw that time after time after time yesterday. That was a dominant effort offensively by the offensive line. There's some things that they were able to do yesterday that we haven't seen all season long, and I'm just certainly happy that Doug was able to stick with it. Now, the truth is this. I don't know whether the weather dictated that. I don't know if Doug only ran those run plays because the weather dictated that.
Yes.
I have a feeling, to Trey's point, that Doug would have thrown the ball 35, 45 times.
Yes.
If we didn't have the win yesterday.
Sure.
So, I mean, hopefully this is an enlightening part for Doug. This says, you know what, Doug, maybe if you run the ball a little bit early on, you might have more success later on in the football game, and you don't have to depend on Carson to be Superman every single week.
Well, sometimes you need certain things to happen to make other things really click for you, and yesterday was the weather, 35-mile-an-hour wind gust in Buffalo to make him, and now, hopefully, that carries things over into each game where he sees that it does work and we don't need inclement weather to make sure that we go out there and pull these things out of the playbook. It's the Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, special guest Trey Thomas from Devon Givens. We are with you until 7:15 broadcasting.
We got to get to Dave too, man.
Live, absolutely. We'll get to Dave broadcasting live from PJ's in Cherry Hill, 1854 East Marlton Pike. Come on by. There's a lot of people here, but still room for you on the phones, 610-632-0975. We'll get to the defense on the other side, the trade deadline tomorrow, and what they may or may not do. A lot of things happen today. Will anything drop for the Philadelphia Eagles? 610-632-0975. Pro Show with Brian Westbrook live from PJ's right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, presented by 19 Crimes Wine, The Tile Shop, and Rudder Roofing on 97.5 The Fanatic.
647, 97.5 The Fanatic. Live from PJ's in Cherry Hill, The Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, Trey Thomas, Devon Givens, hanging out with you until 7:15, leading you into Sixers basketball. The undefeated Sixers basketball. 7:15, that's not good for you. They're in Atlanta. We gotta lead into some basketball.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. Hey, will you tell the big dog an hour if it's an hour?
That was it?
Nah, I'm cool. I mean, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, man. Sixers basketball. Hey, man, they're undefeated. You know, guys.
Hey, that's right, man. We excited about that.
Undefeated.
Trying to get my mind right before I go paint, man. I'll go home and paint for a little bit.
We'll make sure you're right.
Yeah.
Only 14 extra minutes after that.
Stimulate the mind a little bit. You know, get in my zen mode before I go splash some paint on the
tires. See, listen, I'm going to tell you this right now.
Yes.
When I came onto the team and Trey was already established, all pro, a Pro Bowler already. He continues to dominate throughout my career. Then he goes out there and finishes his career other places. But there was no point during that time that I thought that I would be sitting here with a painter, with the big fella painting pictures. He just showed me some pictures earlier, and they're good. Good looking pictures over there at your studio. How many studios you got?
Yeah, we just got our one. But we
just
do
the one.
Yeah, we got the one in Cherry Hill, P.O.'s Palette in Cherry Hill, and
fantastic.
We do mobile events as well. But yeah, man, it's what I like to do, man. It clears the mind.
I got to get into that.
Yeah, it clears the mind. I get a little, you know, get a nice little bottle of wine, and you know,
there you go.
Enjoy a little mental stimulation and just get in my creative zen mode for a little bit.
You're
just
definitely not thinking of anything else but the painting.
Yeah, just hang out. It's a nice way to decompress.
There you go.
Yeah,
wrong with that.
Yes, a good time.
Especially at the Eagles win, a dominant effort. Last thing I want to say about the offense, when we talk about, and Andy Reid was big on this, we want to score before the half, and we want to come out of the half and score. So the last possession for the Eagles right before the half, touchdown. They come out in the third quarter. Obviously, they get the ball first in the third quarter. Touchdown. The second possession in the third quarter, touchdown. That's how you make some separation between yourself and your opponent. Great job from by the offense. But let's talk a little defense.
Talk some defense, man. They only gave up 13 points on the road. We know the offense by Buffalo is not that great,
right?
They averaged 20 points a game before yesterday's contest. Only 13, could not really get anything going. Cole Beasley, an Eagle killer, we know that from his days with the Dallas Cowboys, got into the end zone. Other than that, they got nothing. Why? What happened? Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby back, as you spoke about. Brandon Graham was huge yesterday, and Fletcher Cox also played well.
Well, it was certainly good to see both Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills back. I don't know how well they are as far as health, because they didn't get challenged.
Yes.
Josh Allen wasn't able to push the ball down the field very much, and there's one reason why. Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, that front four, played great. They played much, much better than they have in the past. You know, I've been waiting all season long for Fletcher Cox to get completely healthy. And this week seemed like the week he has been the most healthy that we've seen him all season. He's gotten better. But Brandon Graham continues to be a beast. He's effective in the run game. He affects the quarterback in the pass game. He's one of these guys, and a lot of times you talk about guys with motors, like Trent Cole motor.
Yes. Yep.
But Brandon has a motor, and he's able to go out there with some skill. He gets underneath a bunch of guys. He's able to make some moves. They put him outside. They put him inside. He beats the guards. You know, and so he is a true difference maker. You line him inside alongside Fletcher Cox. It makes that defensive line very, very formidable. The other thing, they were able to rotate some guys in there yesterday, and I think when you get some depth with that defensive line, it's going to go a long way for that defense to be successful.
Yeah, I think, they played on fire yesterday. I think that, you know, this looked like a team that did not want to go back and be embarrassed again, you know, where you just had Minnesota and Dallas come out there and push you around and have their way with you. So they came out and they rallied around their leader, Malcolm Jenkins, and they came out there and played with their hair on fire. You know, again, when you're looking at the TV copy, the sideline copy, when you see the Buffalo Bills, everything just stops right there on their line of scrimmage, or you see our helmets pushing their helmets back, we're winning in the trenches, and that's what you saw out there. Fletcher Cox was a grown-ass man yesterday,
that's
man.
Right.
It was good to see Fletcher Cox, the Fletcher Cox that we all know and love, come back. You know, I mean, to go out there and just whoop the guard down like he did, to go get a sack fumble, was that's what we've been looking for.
That's right.
You know, someone to widen out a little bit. You know what destruction Fletcher Cox can bring to the table when he's out there in playing his best game. And you saw it yesterday. Someone that was not going to be denied and really controlled that line of scrimmage.
Four tackles, two assisted, 1.5 sacks for Fletcher Cox.
Mm-hmm.
Five tackles, one assist, one sack for Brandon Graham. And Graham also created a strip fumble and recovered it also in the same play. I don't even know how he was able to get up and get back to that football after having someone on top of him as he went to the turf, and the ball's laying there, no one else able to get it, but he wanted it more than anybody else, and he found
constantly
a way to get it.
Constantly hustling, and one of the things that Orlando Scandrick brought up was that guys were being selfish.
Yes.
What we saw this week was a bunch of guys running to the football. What we saw this week was gang tackling. What we saw this week was, and Trey kind of brought it up, but I think it's so true. We want our defense to play with some passion. When you talk about some of the best Philadelphia Eagles defense, you talk about guys that were nasty. These guys were they were aggressive, but they played with passion. And yesterday we saw a football team that seemed like they were pissed off. They were upset about everything that had went on during the week, and they played with some passion, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They get a turnover early, allows the offense to get back on the field. That's what this team, and that's the way that this team has to win. Get some turnovers, get a short field, and be able to allow the offense to get back on the field. The defense did a great job yesterday. It was certainly good to have Mills and Darby back in the lineup.
Hey, Dave, we're going to come to you right now. Dave in Center City, guys. Let's get him up and see what he has to say. Dave, you're on the Pro Show with Brian Westbrook and Trey Thomas.
Hey, D-Wing from What's Happening used to say, hey, hey, hey.
What's up, Dave?
What's going on, Dave?
Before I get down to business, Brian, I know that Nova loss to Stony Brook was catastrophic.
Disappointing loss.
But guess what? It's really not going to hurt them, Brian.
Have y'all won a game yet?
We have won the game. We were 6-1, and then we lost last week. But I will say this. Coach Ferrante allowed Freddie Mitchell to come talk to the team. And ever since then, things have gone downhill. I do want to mention that.
You let Fred X get in front of the team. What
Brian,
was the speech?
I don't know.
It's really not going to hurt them. They're still the fourth best team at FCS, and they're a live underdog against North Dakota State. But let me get down to business. Okay, I told the A-team, the loss against Dallas was nothing but a clunker. Every NFL elite team goes through this, okay? And listen, I'm not a night watchman out here. I know what I'm talking about when it comes to the Eagles under the Dougie Pete regime. I've been spot on the last couple years. In all fairness, guys, when the smoke clears, the NFC title is going to come down to the 49ers and the Eagles. And speaking of clunkers, 49ers are due for a clunker at Arizona Thursday night. Brian, who are the Eagles going to lose to on this schedule? Okay? And basically, my tickets are booked for Levi Stadium January 19th. Eagles at 49ers. for
the title game, huh? Oh, that's beautiful, yeah. Dave. Thanks for the call. I mean, you look at that list, and again, we run through it plenty of times.
Yeah.
With the schedule, you know what, B? Let's answer that on the other side. So the eight games remaining.
Let's do it again.
Let's answer that on the other side. 610-632-0975. Special extra segment here on the Pro Show with Brian Westbrook. Special guest Trey Thomas, Devon Givens. Because Sixers, Hawks. Tip off 7:30 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Once again, 610-632-0975. You want to squeeze in before we get out of here. Pro Show with Brian Westbrook live from PJs in Cherry Hill right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, presented by 19 Crimes Wine, The Tile Shop, and Rudder Roofing on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, indeed. 701, 97.5 The Fanatic. The Pro Show with Brian Westbrook. Special guest Trey Thomas from The Morning Show. I'm Devon Givens. We are with you for about another 10 minutes here before we hand things off to Brian.
Yeah, man, because it's a free show right now.
Yeah, it is a free show.
I'm just hanging out, volunteering my time, just hanging out.
You
know,
the more you could do,
we appreciate it.
Hanging out with you guys.
Don't forget, the pregame show, Sunday, 10
pre-game
o'clock.
Pregame show, yeah.
Trey, Brian, Jason Avant, myself, we get to hang out for a little bit and talk some birds. Hopefully we're talking about the Chicago Bears win on Sunday. So, guys, as we look ahead after what we saw yesterday, 4-4, going into the bye week, to answer Dave's question about the wins, the Eagles have 5 home games,
right?
3 road games remaining of the 8.
Yes.
And it starts with Chicago this week, followed by New England, Seattle, both at home as well before you hit the road. Again, that time you go to Miami, you chalk that up as a win,
yep,
right there. And then you have
Washington,
New York twice.
Oh, we chalking
Dallas.
Up wins? That's what we're
against
doing?
Against Miami, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm chalking that one up.
I'll tell you this. So I am. I like us against the Bears. They're a one-dimensional football team. I don't believe in Mitch Trubisky.
No.
I think that Seattle is a tough game.
Their coach don't even believe in them.
No, he don't believe it. Absolutely not. Seattle is a tough game. I think we find a way to win that Seattle game.
Okay.
I really, really do.
So that's
even
two
though
wins.
I love Russell Wilson, but I think we find a way to win that. I think we're going, we lose to the Patriots.
Six and five at that point.
Here's the problem. I think we lose. Who's at the Patriots? The Miami.
Miami.
We win that game.
7-5.
Giants. We win that game.
8-5.
The Cowboys is the game that I have a problem with. We lose. So
that's the final game of the season. So basically, what we're looking at is going to that final game at 9 wins, hopefully.
Yeah.
And
that's the problem.
That's probably going to be for the division
that's
against
the
Dallas. But you're in your home.
Yes, I know.
Revenge.
I agree with that. I just think that they have a superior talent to us.
Trey, at home, final game of the season, if we're forecasting things, you're sitting at 9 and you think Dallas probably coming here, same thing. First of all, the game would be huge.
And
we'll have some fun with that as it shows itself, but that would be a big spot. And that would be, so why would you look at that right there if in the event, hypothetically, that's the case?
If Dallas is our
final game of the season.
Man,
9-6.
We're already season up, man.
Yeah, we had to go over the schedule.
Why are we going season
just
ending right now,
just
man?
Because Dave asked the question.
I only got 8 more weeks of football, man.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah,
don't
take me to the end.
I'm
good.
But let's look at this.
We got Chicago next week.
Don't take it to the end.
I won't take it to the end.
You won't take it to the end now?
That's my fault.
All right, Dave, you're out. You don't get that.
Sorry about that, Dave.
Sorry about that, Dave.
I don't have 8.
Let's enjoy it for what it is. Absolutely.
Well, that just hurts right now,
this is
man.
The thing.
You just fast forwarded me.
I didn't want to hurt fast forward you.
My bad.
It's important to look at this game, and we've all thought about the Chicago Bears defense because that's what they do very, very well.
Yes.
I brought my guy James with me. He's a stat guy. He's always giving me the stats as to how we can win this football game. And I think one of the things that that we have to look at is how do we contend with the Chicago Bears defense. And so James has a couple stats that tells us a little bit about this Bears defense that can help us out just a bit.
We all know that the Bears defense is stingy. They haven't allowed more than 235 passing yards in a game this season, and that was Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, that's good because we don't throw the ball like that anyway.
No.
So we're a running team now.
Yeah,
but that's right. Where you have to start taking chances. Now, I looked into the numbers. The completion percentage against Kyle Fuller, 79%. Prince Amukamara, 78%.
Wow.
If you're going to win the game, you're going to have to take chances against
the
Bears.
Ball.
You're not going to get many because they blitz well, but you got to throw the ball.
How do we protect? That's the biggest question.
You got Khalil Mack over there, man.
How do we protect against him? We want to throw the football, but how do we protect?
Hey, man, he's just like everybody else. He put his pants on. So he can get punched in the mouth just like anybody else.
Yeah.
I don't understand, you know. You don't sound confident.
I was hoping he was about to convince me.
I got nothing else. I mean, you know, he can punch in the mouth just like anybody else. I mean, you know, what do you want from me?
I just see him come off that edge,
punched in the mouth.
Absolutely.
Off the edge.
Andre Diller is going to have a game. He's going to have to have a different level type of game.
Yeah.
And Trey mentioned it earlier. The one thing that he's
so excited for him
that he did so well in college was pass protect. He's going to get a great opportunity, and James just gave it the stats.
Every offensive lineman needs that signature game.
Uh-huh.
Every offensive line. My rookie year against Derek Thomas, dog.
Derek Thomas.
Look
nasty.
At that.
Yeah, against Derek Thomas, my rookie year, dog. Zero tackles, zero sacks.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
See?
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Anybody can get it. Hey, you know, I don't give a damn who he is, dog. He get punched in the mouth just like anybody else. So I'm so excited for this young man if he gets to play this game. And I don't know if JP is going to
come back.
Yeah, you know, but if Dillard has the opportunity to play, man, I'm so excited for this man because this right here is a signature game for you that stamps you. That shows like, oh, I belong on this level. Those other two little warm-up games, yeah, that's cool. They, you know, they, nice competition,
right?
But this right here is one that's one of you.
That's the one that you put up on your mantle. Yes.
When you come out there, you shut them down. You put their name on the mantle.
One of the top defenses, of course, in the NFL. So yeah, the offense struggles, but the defense keeps them in their game.
I think the Bills was one of the top defenses too, and they had no offense. That's all the difference in the game. If you leave any defense on the field for 35, 40 minutes, they're going to struggle. And I think that's one of the things that we have to try to figure out. You got another stat for me?
The game is going to be won on third down.
Okay.
Now, the Eagles, people might not know this, one of the best teams at third down conversion rate, second in the league. Conversely, the Bears are fifth. You got to keep the Bears defense. You got to keep the Bears offense off field. You can't let them run. You can't let them run out the clock what they're going to do. You got to just drive, take chances. That's all this game is. You saw what happened in the wild card game, 16-15. Probably another game like that.
Sure.
You got to keep your offense on the field.
Okay. Stay on the field offensively. And I didn't know that we were second in the league in third down.
Second.
That's impressive.
That is.
Because
the running game in Carson
I'll
doing
tell you,
their job.
I'll tell you this. I didn't know that because I didn't see our offense being that successful. But that's a good sign for us. Having the ability to stay on the field, being second in the league on third down, that's going to be huge. If we can keep our offense on the field, and obviously their average offense on the sideline, that's going to be play a big part to us winning this football game.
And hopefully with Carson Wentz showing again that he's willing to take the opportunities that are there to run, we see more pickups there if it comes down to it where he's able to just pull the ball down and go and make sure he protects himself, of course, but pick up that first down.
They got a nasty defense. They're one of these defenses where you say, if you're going to drop back 40 times a game, you're going to give up some sacks. So I think similar to what we did against the Bills, let's try to smash my football just a little bit early on and see how that goes. And hopefully the weather's not as bad as it was up there in Buffalo. We can throw the ball a little bit more. But I would love to get this running game going similar to what we did this past weekend.
And, of course, the Brian Westbrook Show is presented by 19 Crimes Wine. Join us every Monday night, folks, from 6 to 7 for the Brian Westbrook Show, live from P.J. Willihan's in Cherry Hill, 1854 East Marlton Pike. Grab a seat early and enjoy happy hour food specials from 3:30 to 6, including $2 sliders, $4 famous fries, and $5 personal nachos all day, every day. Enjoy $7 19 Crimes featured wines by the glass, plus Rudder Roofing, windows, siding, and decking. They will protect your house and the tile shop, where the pros go for exclusive savings, referral rewards, and job site delivery. Guys, before we get out of here, a trade was made by the the birds today. Jannard Avery,
ooh,
a defensive end, linebacker, for a fourth-round pick coming from Cleveland. So a fourth-round pick in 2021 from Cleveland, and that's what you get.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What position did he play?
Defensive end.
He plays DN.
Outside linebacker in the 3-4.
I want to remind you, Trey. Jadeveon Clowney got traded for a third rounder and a couple of other guys.
At the
beginning of the year.
Hey, I'm just saying.
So he's outside linebacker. Does he start for the Cleveland?
No.
He's coming off the bench.
Coming off the bench.
Yes. I don't know too much about him. So
literally off the bench.
It's
not a big help for us, I don't think. I think he's going to be more of a special teams, an add-on, a depth type of guy. That's not the splash that everyone's looking for.
No.
Well, for me, I don't care who you put out there at DN or rush. You need to have the coverage behind it. You know, you need to give the rush time to get there anyway. So, I mean, you know, I don't care who you put out there at defensive line. You need secondary to create the sack for me.
Reports out there, Darius Slay from Detroit on the market. Philadelphia has at least reached out to Detroit about his availability.
Very good player,
all-pro level player. And be one of the guys that we talked about before, Leonard Williams from the Jets to the Giants for a third in 2020 and a fifth in 2021.
The most important trade that they need to make is for a wide receiver. It's very simple. I think that you can live with Mills. You can live with Darby on the back end, especially as those guys continue to get healthy. You got to find some playmakers on the offensive side of the ball, whether Deshaun comes back or not. You have to find yourself a wide receiver.
Well, guys, this has been a blast. As always, we broadcast live from PJ's every week. Hopefully, you guys can come on out. And it's always great.
Fella, man.
Always great.
Yeah, man.
On a Victory Monday when Trey Thomas joins us. And we thank Dylan McKinnon back at the studio producing the show. Joe Seif doing a great job, man, putting things together.
Great job, Joe.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate it. Kevin and James and the ground crew, appreciate it. And Kennedy from, of course, the great PJs here for helping us out with everything that
we
need.
Thank you to everybody that came out.
All the great people who have come on out to show some support. We really appreciate it. Coming up next, it will be the Philadelphia 76ers in Atlanta. Two undefeated teams, the only two undefeated teams in the NBA at 2-0, going head-to-head. Brian Seltzer of Sixers.com will have the pregame cover. He'll let you know the status of Joel Embiid. After the game, Joe Torti and D. Lynam will carry you until midnight for the postgame show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So enjoy the game coming up. Sixers basketball right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.